Now, chronic fatigue syndrome, ME. It's ME Day today, just by the by, and this has blighted the lives of millions across the world for many years. It's relatively, well, not a lot's known about this debilitating and complex illness. So, as I say, World ME Day today, and campaigners are focusing on one key aspect of this disease. Pushing harder can make you sicker. The technical term for this is post-exertional malaise, or PEM. Now, Dr. Lynette Hodges lectures in sport and exercise at Massey University, and she also researches ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. So a very good evening. Kia ora, Lynette. Welcome to Nights.
Kia ora, Mark. How are you?
I'm real well, thank you. I appreciate you spending some of your Friday night with us. And would you describe chronic fatigue syndrome and what causes it from your point of view, what you've learned?
Yep. So I've been researching chronic fatigue syndrome for the last 8 years. And initially, one of my colleagues at Massey University came along and said, hey, would you give my daughter and my wife an exercise test because they suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome, ME? And I said, sure. And so I gave them an exercise test and I said, well, you know what? I'm not really sure that I understand this. I'm not really sure that I understand what's going on because to me, everything seems well and everything seems okay. Yeah. But the trouble is people can be well on one day and then the next day is where their symptoms come on, they crash, they can have symptoms such as loss of concentration, fatigue, flu-like symptoms, poor memory, and just a debilitating fatigue. So it's not necessarily you feel it when you're in it, it's the time after you've kind of pushed through it. So the PEM that you described before, the post-exertional malaise, is the inability to recover from physical, cognitive, and emotional exertion. And it's a level of fatigue that is more profound and more devastating and longer lasting than that's observed in any other sort of patient group. So I also work with people with multiple sclerosis. They also suffer with fatigue. And you know what? If you go into a doctor's surgery, one of the number one factors that people come in with is fatigue. Mm-hmm. So it's how do you make the diagnosis of chronic fatigue, ME, or that somebody's just having a bad day? For people with chronic fatigue syndrome, there's this cycle of they push through, they crash, but they don't necessarily know how far they can push. And actually, we know that exercise can be bad for these people.
So is this, I'm just thinking after the pandemic has been through and worked its horrible magic on us, we're now, there's a lot of talk about long COVID. Is chronic fatigue syndrome a bit like long COVID, or are they confused, or are they the same thing? Or?
Yeah, so it's hard to know, but what we know from chronic fatigue is that it runs a similar pattern to long COVID. So I've done some exercise testing with a couple of people with long COVID. And so at Massey University, we have an exercise lab and people come in and they cycle on a bicycle and we measure their oxygen consumption, we measure their heart rate, and we look at things like their respiratory exchange ratio, which tells us how much fat and how much carbohydrate they're using. And what I've been doing over the last 8 years is doing repeated exercise tests. Mm. So somebody comes in on a Monday and then they might come in on a Tuesday at the same time, do the same test, and then we see very different results on day two than what we do on day one. So, for example, somebody might be able to come in and they might be able to get to 210 watts on day one. They might be able to achieve their maximum heart rate. And then on day two, when they come in, they can only achieve up to 195 watts and a heart rate of 156 beats per minute. Mm. So therefore, their heart can't actually beat as fast, and there's something physiologically wrong, something that's inhibiting them to get to that maximum level.
Mm. Can we just go back? Is there any way we know how you get it, or is it just simply, you know, the fate, bad luck?
A lot of it was thought that it might be due to the Epstein-Barr disease virus, but it's not, like, there's not 100% certain that it comes from a particular place. So we're still as much in the dark of how it comes about. Like, they talked about the Tapanui flu years ago, and there were a lot of people that came along with chronic fatigue. There's talked about Lyme disease and lots of other diseases. Like, we know we've got chronic fatigue syndrome. Oh, sorry, now we've got long COVID.
Yeah.
And clearly there's some virus that gets inside of your body and does something to every sort of system within the body, whether it's the immunological system, the physiological system. And so it seems to be attacking multiple systems. So it's very different from like cardiovascular disease, because that's just literally one system, whereas this is kind of multiple systems.
And, I mean, it goes on. As I was reading your press release from Four World ME Day, and there were some case studies there. One woman got glandular fever, Trish, and she went from being healthy, active, to virtually bedridden for 3 years. 10 years later, she's still suffering from it, you know, in fits and starts. She can have 2 or 3 hours a day, pretty good, and then crash for another 2 days after that. And that's kind of what happens.
And that's the vicious cycle of what happens. Some people can go hard. In one of my research trials, I had a mountain biker, but you know, the next day she's toast and she just can't do anything.
Wow.
It's with some people it starts off with glandular fever. I had glandular fever when I was in my 20s.
Yes.
I went from being a fabulous fitness instructor, teaching spin classes at 5:30 in the morning. I don't really know who likes that spot, but that was my spot, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
And I then got glandular fever, and I couldn't even walk to the bus stop.
Wow. And now, I mean, are you still suffering to a degree, or have you just managed to, in other words, what is the prognosis? Can you rid yourself of this, or is it something you've just got to deal with?
Well, I managed to bat off glandular fever, so I'm probably a lucky one. I guess genetics-wise, I'm not sure whether it's part of your genetics or the body makeup, but a lot of people spiral down into that chronic fatigue sort of syndrome. You try and push through, and you know, you think, well, you know, this wasn't me yesterday, and it wasn't me before I had glandular fever. So let's push through, and let's, you know, we're in New Zealand, we're the bro, we can do it. And we've got to listen to our bodies. We've got to certainly listen to our body. If our body's saying, hey, look, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this.
Yep.
You've got to take a rest.
What sort of support is available for sufferers?
Not a lot, to be honest. A lot of people go undiagnosed. A lot of people go to the doctors and get told, well, really? Are you really that tired? Are you really suffering from those symptoms? So a lot of times people are misunderstood. A lot of the GPs are misinformed because it's just not part of the GP training that's out there.
Oh.
And so a lot of the time people just get told to go see a physio. I was reading the Facebook group earlier today, and somebody had been told to go to a physio, go exercise. Well, you know, we know that actually some people just can't exercise. They can't go to the physio. They can't even get out of bed.
So in other words, it's not taken seriously by the medical profession?
Not at all. Not at all.
Really?
Research-wise, it's hard to get money it's hard to get funding. It's not taken seriously. It needs to be taken seriously because it is damaging. People are not empathetic. And people say, well, you know, come on. You know, everyone can do a bit of exercise. Exercise is good for you. Actually, exercise is good for most people, but I've seen these people come into my lab and I know how they feel afterwards. I know what they go through and the trauma that some of them have been through before they even get to my lab. You know, they're looking for answers and, you know, sometimes I can give them those answers that there is something physiologically underlying that might be stopping them from doing things.
So you're suggesting medicine possibly because there's no, dare I say, no cure for it or no tablet or pill that you can take for it, ME, it's kind of in the too hard basket.
Yep, very much the too hard basket. There's no medicine. There's lots of researchers out there who are doing really good things. We've got Dr. Anna Brooks here in New Zealand, and some other really great researchers overseas, but it's just not given as much time of day as cardiac problems, obesity. It's a long-term condition that actually affects more people than multiple sclerosis, so it is much bigger than perhaps what people think.
What is your research into chronic fatigue showing you now? What's the latest you've come up with?
So, like I mentioned before, that I'd been looking at this repeated exercise test. And so initially I looked at 24-hour repeats, and then I looked at 48-hour repeats. So instead of coming Monday and Tuesday, you'd come in Monday and Wednesday. And then I was put 2-hour repeats, so coming in Monday and Thursday. And so what I found is that both people who came in on a Monday and Tuesday, on the Tuesday, they couldn't quite do as much on the exercise test. Their heart rate was lower. And then those who came in on a Monday and a Wednesday, they could achieve a pretty similar result. And those who came in on a Monday and a Thursday do somewhat a little bit more. What I will say with caution is that my groups were not the same people all the way through. So I've got different people. So it may be that I'm not catering for everyone. I've got small sample sizes. But my thinking and my research points to the fact that actually, you know, we're told that we can do 150 minutes of exercise, and we're told that we should do 30 minutes of exercise every day. Should make us feel good. For people with ME/CFS, we're thinking that actually maybe every 3 to 4 days is okay, and actually not half an hour every 3 to 4 days, but actually, you know, let's actually rest up for the 2 days in between. I've worked with a couple of athletes and help them deal with their fatigue issues and use that sort of strategy. But the problem is it's not going to work for those people who are bedridden and people who, you know, physically are unable to exercise.
Look, Lynette, good on you for your work. Thank you so much for sharing that with us tonight. And how long are you continuing with this? And I guess until you finished it, is that the answer?
Well, until we get to
substance answers.
Like there's so many people who are told to go and do graded exercise therapy. I've been involved with some Polish researchers, and they sent me a great article where they'd had this big group of patient group who did supervised exercise for 12 weeks. And I was reading through their work, and I actually thought, well, actually, only 40% of the patients have actually finished the trial. What's happened to the rest of the 60%? Why didn't they finish the trial? So we wrote a really great article on the 60% that actually didn't finish the trial. But they're often the unheard of, because they drop out, and so we actually don't write about those. Whereas actually we really need to be writing about them, because they're the ones who are telling the story.
Thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the mission, and once again remembering World ME Day, Dr. Lynette Hodges. Thank you.
Thank you.